RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesia and Malaysia increased the number of border posts. Indonesian President Joko Widodo hopes Indonesian society in Malaysia to have passport. And now the news in detail. The government of Malaysia has proposed development of free trade zone and high-value agricultural activities along the border to spur economic growth. The border area connect Malaysia cities Entebbe and Tawau with Antikong and Nunukan in Indonesia. This was stated by Malaysian Prime Minister Muhammad Najib bin Tun Abdul Razak in the 12th annual meeting of Indonesia-Malaysia in Kuching, Malaysia on Wednesday. Meanwhile, to increase the border area security, Indonesia and Malaysia also agreed to increase the number of border posts. In addition to the threat of terrorism, President Joko Widodo considered that the border areas are also prone to be used as entry and exit route for narcotics syndicate and drugs or hazardous substance of international syndicate.
Kita juga setuju,
we have also agreed that the number of joint posts at the border is increased to strengthen the entering drug crime and terrorism into our country. We must join keep our borders.
Previously, Indonesia and Malaysia, along with Philippines, have strengthened their water territory by holding trilateral joint operation. Malaysia has led trilateral air patrol in early November, while the Philippines will lead operation in December 2017 and Indonesia in January 2018. In his visiting to Kuching, Sarawak, Malaysia, President Joko Widodo took time to greet 7,000 Indonesians who live and work in Sarawak state and surrounding areas on Wednesday, 22nd of November. During the meeting, which was held at Perpaduan Kuching Stadium, the president delivered some points related to population issues to society who are mostly work at palm plantation from Bintulu, Sibu, Miri, and Kuching, Malaysia.
Semua yang berada di sini,
all people who live in Miri, Bintulu, Sibu, and Kuching must have passport. Those who have not passport should immediately manage in the Consulate General. Children who are born here should have their birth certificate in order to have the rule of the law when they grow up.
On the occasion, President Joko Widodo asked Indonesian Ambassador to Kuala Lumpur, Rusdi Kirana, and Indonesian Consulate General to Kuching, Jahar Gultom, to facilitate and accelerate all document and population issues of Indonesian community who live in the border areas. Besides having passport and birth certificate, the president also asked the community who have children in school age to send them to the community learning center which currently have been built in Sabah and Sarawak. The United Nations Envoy for Women Affairs, Sabine Mark, evaluated the role of Indonesian women to eradicate gender discrimination is getting more apparent. 2 months in Indonesia, Sabine Mersh witnessed Indonesian women action in managing their better life. According to Sabine, the role women can be in line to men. It was stated by Sabine Mersh after diplomatic forum event which was held by Radio Republik Indonesia World Service Voice of Indonesia at Gallery Tri Prasetya RRI Building Jakarta on Wednesday. Sabine Mersh further said one of the ways to prevent violence on women is starting from family. From an early age, children are taught to respect each other, especially women. Later, the habits of respect for others will inherit in the social life. Indonesia and Malaysia trade figures in the first half increased by 21%. This is one of the points revealed by President Joko Widodo during a meeting with Malaysian Prime Minister Muhammad Najib bin Tun Abdul Razak in Kuching, Malaysia on Wednesday, November 22. On the occasion, the President appreciated the increase of trade relations between Indonesia and Malaysia, one of them through the import of rice by Malaysia last October.
Angka perdagangan antara Indonesia
the trade
dan Malaysia
figures between Indonesia and Malaysia in the first half, I see an increase up to 21%. I welcome the initiation of Indonesian rice export to Malaysia via Antikong for 25,000 tons in October. And Indonesia hopes Malaysia can allocate 20% of its import quota. Rice import quota to Indonesia is about 150,000 tons per year. In the meeting, Malaysian Prime Minister Muhammad Najib bin Tun Abdul Razak said that the two countries also agreed to jointly overcome concern over European Union Parliament resolution in the palm oil sector that has an effect on small plantation industries in both countries. European Union calls Indonesian palm oil as the cause of deforestation and climate change. Prime Minister Najib Tun Razak added that the two countries have brought the problem to President of the Council of Europe, Donald Tusk, in Manila, the Philippines, recently. Canadian Embassy to Indonesia in the 150th anniversary of Canada is actively hold some cultural events, among others to open exhibition of painting art which collaborated with Hadi Prana Gallery. The event featuring paintings of old trees from Indonesian and Canadian forest work by Canadian artist Ken Patton, which is held from November 22 until December 31, 2017 at Hadi Prana Gallery, South Jakarta. The Canadian Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Peter MacArthur, in his opening remarks said that the old tree painting gallery is a symbol to protect environment in facing climate change and decreasing forest through a positive cultural event.
So this is very much symbolic on the need to protect our environment against climate change and degradation of forests and illegal logging and illegal forestry. The need to responsibly harvest the forests for good, but also to protect them. Well, this event is a new beginning for us in terms of more cultural relations between the two countries. Positive momentum. We have a number of cultural events now.
Canadian Ambassador Peter MacArthur added, in December, the embassy will play Canadian film entitled Blue Planet, which tells about Earth and how important to guard the Earth from environmental damage. NasDem Party Secretary General Johnny Plate said on Wednesday that Trenggalek region Emil Elestianto Dardak must clarify his current political affinity, Johnny presented two choices for Emil. Firstly is for him to not be a cadre of any political party, or secondly is for Emil to choose his affiliation to either of the political parties. Johnny asserted that Emil must be able to unite the numerous political parties that have endorsed him. NASDEM is one of the political parties that will be endorsing the Social Affairs Minister, Kofifa Indar Parawansa and Trenggalek Region Emil Dardak at the East Java election of 2018. Emil was chosen to accompany Kofifa following a series of studies conducted by Team 17. And the last item, beginning a good start at stage 5 of Tour de Sengkarak 2017, TDS Indonesian rider from KFC cycling team Jamal Hibatullah managed to keep his red and white Solok and finish in South Solok Regency by gaining massive enthusiasm from the local people. At stage 4, Jamal managed to get the first podium by defeating Robert Muller from Germany, that becomes the champion at stage 3. In a press conference held on Wednesday, November 22, 2017, Jamal stated that he faced heavy challenge on the road and he thinks what kind of strategy that his team will use at stage 6.
For me, the strategy is at the general class in number 6. I left behind 11 minutes. Maybe tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, I will attack it.
Jamal added that all the stage 6 that will start in Gondoria Beach, Pariaman and finish in West Pasaman is expected to be able to give him luck to stand on the podium again. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia and Malaysia increased the number of border posts. Indonesian President Joko Widodo hopes Indonesian society in Malaysia to have passport. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is House Speaker Case, a positive dynamic for law enforcer. In recent weeks, Indonesian people had been presented with an interesting scene related to law enforcement in this country. A top state official, Speaker of the House of the Representatives DPR Setia Novanto, was officially arrested by Corruption Eradication Commission KPK last weekend. After going through a series of drama attempts to escape from the lawsuit on charges of involvement in the corruption case of electronic identity card procurement, finally Speaker Setia Novanto, as a suspect, can no longer avoid. The public cannot wait for the settlement of this case, whether the suspect will be sent to jail as a prisoner or can get rid of any charges. Whatever the outcome will be, there are some things that can be highlighted here. First, what is happening shows that the law enforcer KPK in Indonesia is already going through right track. The law is no longer like a knife that just sharp down and blunted upward. It is now proven that the knife can also cut the throat, those who abuse power, in accordance with the principle of equality before the law. Especially in the context of combating corruption, law enforcer must also be able to touch the tops of power. Because in deposition, the main model of nationality and state is implemented. Inevitably, the area must be cleaned first to encourage the acceleration of eradication of corruption. This can be regarded as a precautionary step towards the potential of corruption. Such an arrest reminds that the phrase "law as a commander" should not just be jargon, but more importantly, the law is part of life of nation and state that is firmly attached to each individual. Law through a judicial institution becomes a solution in fulfilling the sense of justice for anyone who is reporting or who is being reported. All parties are given the opportunity to make the best report to get the best from the legal case anyone is facing. In other words, through the law, people leave all forms of arbitrariness, unilateral acts, while holding the balance between rights and duties. At last, all of these are a signal to show Indonesian firmness in law enforcement. Any crime, even if it concerns an influential person, will be brought to the court. This is called positive dynamic, which is in line with the sustainable effort to create legal certainty and justice in Indonesia. It is also expected to support development in all fields, including realizing the development goals set by United Nations since the era of Millennium Development Goals, MDGs, up to the present Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs. Well, listener, that was our commentary today entitled House Speaker Case Positive Dynamic for Law Enforcement. I'm Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, we start for an event on November 23, 1980 when the 1980 Irvinia earthquake occurred. The 1980 Irvinia earthquake occurred in the Irvinia region, southern Italy, on November 23rd. Measuring 6.89 on Richter scale, the quake centered on the village of Consa, killed more than 2,900 people, injured more than 10,000, and left 300,000 homeless. It is known in Italy as Terremoto dell'Irvinia. The quake struck at around 6:38 UTC. The best jolt was followed by 90 aftershocks. Towns in the province of Avellino were hit the hardest. Towns of Pioni, Consa, in the Campania near the epicenter, and Teora were destroyed, and dozens of structures in the Naples were leveled, including a 10-story apartment building. Damage was spread over more than 200,000 square kilometers, including Naples and Salerno. The next event was in 1996 when Ethiopian Airlines Flight 961, a Boeing 767-200ER, was hijacked. Ethiopian Airlines Flight 961, a Boeing 767-200ER, was hijacked on 23rd November 1996 and route from Addis Ababa to Nairobi on Addis Ababa Nairobi Basafile Lagos Abidjan service by three Ethiopians seeking asylum in Australia. The plane crash landed in the Indian Ocean near Grande Comore, Comoros Islands, due to fuel exhaustion. 125 of the 175 passengers and crew on board died, along with the hijackers. The official incident report stated that of the survivors, four were uninjured and the remainder sustained injuries. The incident is one of the few documented water landing attempts of a wide-body airliner with survivors. Until 11 September 2001 attacks, it was the deadliest hijacking involving a single aircraft, and the second deadliest hijacking after 1990 Guangzhou Pune Airport collisions. And the last event was in 2011 when Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh resigned. During 2011, Yemen was in a political crisis which was begun by street demonstration to protest poverty, unemployment, corruption, and President Ali Abdullah Saleh's plan to change the Yemeni constitution. Saleh wanted to remove the presidential decline, which ultimately made him president for life. After a wave of protests known as the Arab Spring began to take its toll, Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh agreed to resign. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener of Arrival Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, our focus today entitled, The Traffic Police of ASEAN Agreed to Implement Joint Driving License of ASEAN. 10 member countries of Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, have agreed to impose a joint driving license issued by each country throughout the ASEAN region. This was agreed at the 2017 ASEAN Traffic Police Forum ATPF meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali on last Friday. The forum addressed a number of leading programs in the ASEAN traffic sector. One of them is pushing the vote of issuance of joint driving license. Head of the Traffic Corps or Kolantas at Police Headquarters, Inspector General Roike Lumowa, explained that the ASEAN Traffic Police Forum ATPF 2017 said that although ASEAN driving license has not been decided, but the important thing has been agreed. He said that the technical implementation of the ASEAN joint driving license will be further discussed in the coming meeting that are more specific to determine the technical aspect, format and other mechanisms considering the plan requires uniformity. He also explained that the rules or formats of the driving license to be applied in each ASEAN country are not all uniform. Take for example, one of them is using a left or right wheel for four-wheeled vehicles or more. Traffic signs among the countries in Southeast Asia are also not the same. Roike also affirmed that even though there are some different aspects in ASEAN region, in fact Indonesia has been accommodating with the enforcement of the international driving license. Roike Lumowa further said that the agreement of ASEAN joint driving license is one of the 9 points achieved at the ATPF ASEAN Traffic Police Forum, which mostly emphasized road safety. He added that the emphasis on the traffic safety becomes an issue that surfaced in the meeting, considering there are a great number of traffic accidents in ASEAN region and Indonesia each year. Roike also remarked that about 28,000 people pass away annually in Indonesia due to traffic accidents, including pedestrian victims. Roike perceived that United Nations has mandated countries to reduce the number of traffic accidents, including the number of fatalities, by 50% at least from 2014 to 2020. Well, listener, that was Focus Day, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Here is the news in brief. The government of Malaysia has proposed development of free trade zone and high-value agricultural activities along the border to spur economic growth. In his visiting to Kuching, Sarawak, Malaysia, President Joko Widodo took time to greet 7,000 Indonesians who live and work in Sarawak State and surrounding areas on Wednesday, 22 of November. The United Nations Envoy for Women Affairs Sabine Mach evaluated the role of Indonesian women to eradicate gender discrimination is getting more apparent. Indonesia and Malaysia trade figures in the first half increased by 21%. Canadian Embassy to Indonesia in the 150th anniversary of Canada is actively holds some cultural events, among others, to open exhibition of painting art which collaborated with Hadi Prana Gallery. NasDem Party Secretary General Johnny G. Plate said on Wednesday that Trenggalek Region Emil Elestianto Dardak Emil Dardak must clarify his current political affinity. And the last item, beginning a good start at stage 5 of Tour de Singkarak 2017, TDS Indonesian rider from KFC cycling team Jamal Hibatullah managed to keep his red and white Solok and finish in South Solok Regency by gaining massive enthusiasm from the local people. And that was the news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Indonesian Wonder, and Miss Eleni.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to the Klok's traditional game, or Bagya traditional game. So, stay tuned. Some time ago, the annual event of Family Day celebration was held at the Elite School of Berlin Season International School in Doha, Qatar. The event was followed by hundreds of visitors, consisted of students and parents of students who came from more than 50 countries in the world. This annual festival is part of the school's activities to introduce the socio-cultural world community so that the students understand the diversity and culture of other countries. Interestingly, in the event, various competitions from overseas are exhibited and contested. The Indonesian diaspora community is promoting Klok's game. Indonesian Ambassador to Qatar Muhammad Basri Sidahabi said, "The Klok's game in the festival is one of the forms of Indonesian social and cultural diplomacy." Listener, Bagya or Bangkyak in East Java or people in West Sumatra called it Tangkele is a kind of sandal which is made of light wood with a foot fastener made of used tire nailed on both sides. The Bagyak is so popular because it is quite cheap and unique. Perhaps the Bagyak or Klok's was born from the acculturation of the Chinese community who had earlier been wearing wooden sandals. In China, wooden sandals have been worn by female nobles since the Han Dynasty or in the 2nd century BC. In China, the Bagyak is known as Muju, and Bagya is its Hokkien dialect. Currently in Indonesia, this type of wooden sandals are rarely used because it is considered less efficient and complicated. The Bagyak or Klok competition is one of the Indonesian traditional games. The Klok's used in the game are certainly different from the Klok's that are used as footwear every day. A type of long Klok's, or often called Tarompang Galua, in West Sumatra is usually used in the game. This type of Klok is long rubber lace board. A pair of Klok's at least has three pairs of sandals or played by three children. Usually the race is held to enliven Indonesia's Independence Day. Like the game in general, the Bagyak race also has its own rules of the game. The Bagyak game are usually done in groups.
Each group consists of 3 to 4 participants racing toward the finish line. The fastest group, who arrive at the finish line, is decided to be the winner. To arrive at the finish line, it is certainly required cooperation among the group members. Besides, as entertainment, the traditional game is also used to train the concentration, leadership, and agility. Listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic the Bakyak or Clocks traditional games. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia in Bahasaku or My Language, a segment to preserve ethnic language diversity in Indonesia. Listener, ethnic language is a traditional language used in a certain area or by a certain tribe, known as the biggest archipelagic country in the world. With its unique culture, natural condition, and various tribes, Indonesia is blessed with hundreds of ethnic languages.
Sebenarnya bahasa daerah di Indonesia itu sangat banyak.
Actually, there are over 700 ethnic languages in Indonesia. Based on a language mapping research conducted by Language Development and Fostering Agency, BPPB, until October 2017, there are 652 ethnic languages identified and verified.
Teridentifikasi dan tervalidasi.
That was a statement by Dr. Ganjar Harimansyah, Head of Protection Divisions of the Language Development and Fostering Agency, Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, about the number of ethnic languages in Indonesia. The mapping done by the agency is not just to find out the number of ethnic languages owned by Indonesia, but also to preserve the languages that are threatened from extinction. After doing the identification and verification process, the Language Development and Fostering Agency then starts to do the vitality study to measure the sustainability of the ethnic languages.
Sejak tahun 2009 sampai 2017.
From 2009 until 2017, we did a study, namely Language Vitality Study. We measure the sustainability of every ethnic language. From the study, we classify every single ethnic language into 6 levels, namely extinct, critical or highly endangered. The third one is endangered. The fourth is loose ground. The fifth is stable but endangered. And the sixth one is safe category.
Dan yang keenam kategorinya aman.
Various efforts have been done by the Language Development and Fostering Agency to preserve the ethnic languages in Indonesia from extinction. Voice of Indonesia in Bahasaku or My Language, a segment to preserve ethnic language diversity in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present nostalgic songs from Indonesian female singer Nicky Astria. Listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Misteri Cinta by Nicky Astria. Enjoy the song.
Walau dia beri menyalipku,
Nicky Astria was born with the name Nicky Nastiti Karyadevi. She is a legendary female rock singer in Indonesia. Originally, Nicky's talent was found by a guitarist of God Bless, an Indonesian rock band, Ian Antono. During her career as a singer, Nicky always be accompanied by Ian Antono as a producer on several Nicky Astria's albums. Therefore, no wonder if the color of Nicky's music so identical with Ian Antono's music work. Nicky's debut album entitled Semua Dari Cinta was released in 1984. The album was well received by the public because the Indonesian female rock singer is very difficult to find. A year later, in 1985, she re-released her album entitled Jarum Neraka. The album was very successful in the market with selling of up to 350,000 copies. This album became the first rock genre album that was able to compete the selling of pop genre albums, so it was awarded as the best-selling rock album in BASF award event. BASF is an award for Indonesian musicians held by BASF Cassette Company. In 1986, Nicky again released the album entitled Tangan Tangan Setan. This album has raised her name in the music industry in the country. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Biar Semua Hilang by Nicky Astria.
Getar asmara pun pudar di dalam dada, dan di antara kita telah tak ada rasa saling seia sekata.
Kita ku kembali.
That was the song from Nicky Astria entitled Biar Semua Hilang. The song is included in the album Tangan Tangan Setan. After seeing a positive response from Indonesian music lovers in 1987, she also released the album entitled Gersang. The album Gersang, along with the album Tangan Tangan Setan, won the BASF Award on the category of best-selling rock album. The success was repeatedly achieved by Nicky Astria. It makes the name of Nicky put on the top of rock singer in Indonesia. Until nowadays, Nicky Astria referred to as a lady rocker. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs by Nicky Astria. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Dihembus angin duka, kini tinggal samar bayangan. Tak bisa lagi berdiri untuk menatang cinta ini. Mengapa harus ku sendiri bertahankan cinta yang berdarah ini? Hati masih merindu sedih, walau hujan berapi membakar di bumi hatiku. Andainya putus katamu ingin pergi dariku, jangan kau menyesali segalanya.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
lagi bernyanyi. Mentari seakan kian sembunyi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.